This is the Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 23.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. This is episode 23. Today we're covering one of the most popular and lucrative side hustles on the planet, but one that is sometimes disregarded, disrespected, and sometimes downright scammy. Of course, I'm talking about multi-level marketing. Brian Switchko is here from CatalystMLM.com, which is a leading provider of non-scammy resources for the MLM industry and is a voice of reason in a sea of pitchmen. First, one quick shout out, a 5-star iTunes review all the way from Australia, Adam from tropicalnomad.com. It says Australia, actually all the way from Chiang Mai, Thailand, says, this is a great podcast for side hustlers. Adam, thank you so much for that review. And speaking of tropical nomads, my wife and I are actually just 10 days away from our 5-week adventure in Japan and Southeast Asia, where I'm excited to try and run the biz from the road and practice being a real life digital nomad. If you're in the area, we'll be a few days in several spots. All the kind of main areas for tropical or for digital nomads. Ho Chi Minh City, Hanoi, Bangkok, Chiang Mai. Definitely hit me up if you're around. Would love to meet up with some fellow side hustlers over there. So back to today. Today's discussion does center on network marketing, but Brian is going to bring up some really good points that can be applied really to any side hustle business opportunity. And I know there's a certain stigma about multi-level marketing, but I told Brian, hey, Side Hustle Nation is open-minded and will give every opportunity a fair shake. So during the interview, we talk a little bit about College Works, which is my college painting experience, which is the closest thing that I ever did to a multi-level marketing company. And I only say that because when I signed up for it or when I interviewed for it and got the job, a lot of people told me, hey, that's a scam. Hey, you're going to get screwed. You're going to do all this work. And, only the people at the top ever make money and stuff. And it didn't turn out anything like that. I mean, you got out of it what you put into it. And that was my experience. But Brian's pitch, or Brian's slogan, I should say, is no pitch, just value. And he can afford to operate that way because he knows the karma usually always comes around in the end. And with that, let's get him on the line and get right to it. All right, Brian, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Thank you.
Brian Switchko is the founder of CatalystMLM.com, a training resource and utility for anyone looking to break into the $176 billion multi-level marketing industry. He's a true side hustle hero, a student in the game of business, and an entrepreneur who's made it his 10-year mission to change the way people think about MLM, starting with Side Hustle Nation. Brian, why don't you give us your quick background on kind of the path that led to Catalyst, the path that led here?
Thanks so much, Nick. Yeah, the path is an interesting one. I was talking about it the other day. Catalyst started very recently, but the story kind of behind it really started about 11 years ago. My first ever multi-level marketing company was not a great one. Had a really bad experience with it, and that kind of pushed me out of the industry for a little bit. Went to school for graphic design, did videography, photography, like everything creative services. Graduated college, had a job at a car dealership, and got laid off because I was too efficient. Tried to make a go at having a consulting company and had been kind of flirting with a multi-level marketing company in the meantime, and basically started to use my multi-level marketing company was the side hustle to my side hustle while I was trying to work my way out of a job. It was a side hustle inception. And it was always kind of, they were neck and neck for generating the revenue. And, it was always which one is going to take off first. And it was always a journey because I was taught that multi-level marketing is personal development with a check attached. So I always loved that aspect of it and always loved being a part of the community. But I also saw the problems with the industry. And so that all kind of culminated in the epiphany idea that was Catalyst MLM to help people succeed in the industry.
So what's the driving force behind the site, behind Catalyst, and what do you hope to accomplish with it?
Yeah, so there's definitely some stuff wrong with the industry, and it's not necessarily wrong with the structure of it, but more so kind of what's happened in the past has left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, both in and out of the industry. It's not helpful to anyone. And so that's kind of one of the many things that we just want to lead by example, offer resources to people to show them the value of, you know, building relationships, communicating with people, helping others, and show them how powerfully that can grow a business through different resources, interviews, and webinars.
Very cool. So let's back up a little bit. You touched on a little bit, but why does MLM get such a bad rap? Like, is there just this history of scammy companies and scammy operators, or is there kind of an underlying, a deeper seated problem with the industry?
There's a lot of reasons, and it's a lot of small reasons that kind of add together. But if you clump as many as possible together, there's really kind of two things to look at. The first of which is the companies, right? So there's good companies and there's bad companies. A lot of times, you know, you hear the Ponzi scheme argument of, you know, the whole industry is a Ponzi scheme. Well, the Ponzi scheme and network marketing are very different. But what the problem is that a lot of Ponzi schemes, if not most Ponzi schemes, disguise themselves as network marketing companies. Now, that's not all of them. That's not a majority, but that does happen. The other piece of it is the people. And a lot of times this is just poor training. People get into the industry and they immediately kind of have that preconceived notion that they need to go and pitch to everyone. They need to tell everybody, they need to, you know, promote. And they go out and talk to 100 people that they know. Everybody looks at them like they're crazy because they don't have any training on the product or the service. They're new to the company, so they haven't made, you know, money yet, so that it's harder to believe. And they really don't know what they're doing. And by the end of that, you know, they've talked to 100 people who've all said no, and kind of one of two things happens is that the person says, oh, this isn't going to work, I can't do this, and they give up, which it's horrible to see happen. And the other option is that the person continues pushing and growing and learning how to actually do it, which is to build relationships. It's easy to say that, but a lot of times people get distracted in selling things. And it really truly is about building those relationships. And the problem that I see is that even when that person learns how to build relationships and grow a business in that way, the damage has already kind of been done. Those 100 people, their belief that the industry is not anything, you know, is not good, that's kind of been reaffirmed. So it's a lot of, in my perspective, it's a lot of poor training or just kind of victims of circumstance, but really it's all fixable. You know, the structure of the industry, of how it's built, how a network marketing company works, is actually extremely strong. Zig Ziglar was if you help enough people get what they want, you can have everything that you want.
Exactly. I love that quote. So how do you tell a scammy MLM company from a good one?
I mean, it's kind of a little bit of the same answer. It's, you know, research. You want to do a lot of research. You want to do it not only in one place. So you want to research the leaders, the compensation plan, the products, the services. And keep in mind, one of my favorite adages is you get what you're looking for. So if you go on Google...
Everyone inside the company has an incentive to sign you up, right? So it's
correct.
Like, so, you know, you can't trust them necessarily. So who do you trust?
I mean, you can. And it's the same thing as, you know, buying a car. At what point do you stop taking the person's, the salesperson's kind of like, you know, just taking it at face value, so to speak? And so, you know, if someone says, like, we have a really great training system, well, okay, you can look at it, but you don't need to go through the whole training system to take their word that, okay, it's a great training system. You know, if someone says you're going to get paid this much, but if there's any kind of absolutist mentality, I always say run away from that. The things that are kind of like absolute in my mind, ironically, are the absolutist mentality. If someone says this is the best business, this is the best compensation plan, I usually try and tell people to go away from that, regardless of what it is. Just because if someone's so absolutist that this is the exact answer, then it means that they're oftentimes closed off to everything else. Another one that I tell people to run away from is if anyone ever says this is the next Facebook, just laugh and walk away.
Okay. People really say that?
Several times before, and all those companies do not exist anymore. I mean, hype is one thing to walk away from, but really scammy versus it's not really a matter of looking out for scammy companies. It's more a matter of looking for good and bad. And a good network marketing company will have the things to look for would be a solid training system that helps the distributors, leadership that's making good decisions, you know, not making decisions to undercut their distributors, so on and so forth. And you can find that out through Google. Compensation plan that is one of the best ways to look at something is it easy to make a decent amount of money, you know, maybe a few hundred bucks rather quickly, and then make more money ongoing, because the quick money will help to encourage new distributors like, oh, wow, I can do this. And that actually makes it a lot simpler to get people into it. And then the last one I would say, almost most importantly, would be the person that's sponsoring you and or the team that you're joining. Are they active? Are they successful? Are they having weekly meetings? Are they nice? Do you like them? You know, if you have a bad gut feeling about someone, even if it's a good opportunity, usually that gut feeling is coming from somewhere, and it is a people business. So if you're not, you know, if you don't like the way that someone acts around other people, then it's probably a good idea to, you know, maybe look at another sponsor or possibly another company.
Got it. Are you reviewing companies on Catalyst MLM, or are you trying to stay kind of neutral and above that?
We're going towards that direction in the future. And the way that we've set that up is that we actually created a weighted point system based on a variety of different different variables, and then pulled all the research in for all those different points, and then passed it off to a board of advisors that are people who've been in the multi-level marketing industry for 10 plus years each. And they all have different experience. And so we take their advice and then basically make a report card for each company. We make it a point to not say this is the best one or this has the highest score. It's a thumbs up or a thumbs down kind of thing. And we really want to look for companies, and everybody should look for companies that are trying to better the industry by supporting their distributors.
Okay. So when you're looking for an opportunity, do you focus on, you know, stuff that you like, stuff that you like are knowledgeable about, or is it just kind of, does that help? Or do you just like whatever random, you know, company comes along that has a system in place and training in place that says, oh, I could sell that?
So if there was a multi-level marketing company that sold PCs and Windows products and anything that Bill Gates had involvement with, I would not be good at it. I would suck at it. And the reason is that I'm a Mac guy. I love Macs. My license plate is I'm a Mac. I love Mac computers. And yeah, not that many people know that one. I love Mac computers. So, you know, it's against my, I won't say values because I don't really hate PCs, but you know, it's not something that I'm passionate about. And passion is very important when you're getting into any business. When you're getting into a multi-level marketing business, let's say you're promoting a nutritional product, you don't necessarily have to be excited about that nutritional product, and you don't necessarily have to be excited about nutrition. You have to be excited about helping people. And if you think that you can fulfill your passion and your, you know, mission in life, if you have one, which you should try and find it out if you don't, but if you can fulfill that with this company in some way, shape, or form, either through the products or the business, then that's what you should look for. But if you don't have that connection and you don't feel that gut feeling, the, you know, a great compensation plan and a, you know, great opportunity, it's not going to help you.
Okay. And this might be a little bit too broad, but are there any specific, you know, companies or opportunities that you like or you think might be a good fit for the listeners at Side Hustle Nation?
I mean, yeah, it is pretty broad, and it depends entirely on the person who's looking. I mean, like I said, my MLM for the longest time was the side hustle to my side hustle. Robert Kiyosaki, Donald Trump, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and a whole list of other billionaires all recommend multi-level marketing as a way to get trained. You know, I mean, they talk about go join a multi-level marketing company so you can learn sales skills, and so that will help your primary business or help you in your job or dating even. The training that comes along with it and the process of working with other people is invaluable. So when you're looking for something, you know, look to connect with something. Look at, okay, what do you want to get from it? You know, do you want to get a few $100 a month? Do you want to get a few thousand? Do you want to get a few $100,000? You know, make sure your expectations are reasonable. If you want to make $100,000 a month through a multi-level marketing company, you need to understand that it's probably going to take 5+ years and it's going to take a lot of work. And you need to be committed to that. If you want to make a few $100, then, you know, find something that you have fun doing. It really depends entirely on the person, which is why, you know, if someone goes, well, I'm thinking of getting into the industry, I never have an answer. I have questions.
Yeah. I'm reminded of when I was in college, I did this College Works painting, and everybody at the time was like, yeah, that's a pyramid scheme, right? And it's like, oh, shoot, what did I sign up for? But it ended up being, just like you said, you know, really invaluable learning those sales skills and learning the practice of running a business. And
it kind of, you know, they publish an article on their website at the end of every summer, how college works ruined your life. And it's totally true, because like once you figured out how to work for yourself, like there's no turning back.
Yep.
And so it's just like, yeah, it's a pyramid scheme in that the people at the top make more than the people at the bottom. But, you know, that's no different from any company in the world, right?
Right. And that's we talked about it before, but it's called the MLM pyramid scheme, I think is the name of the video, but I'll send you a link to add in. And it's this little cartoon, which is hilarious because it's, I think, like a 4-minute cartoon, and it pretty much includes every single objection anyone in or near multi-level marketing. And by the way, multi-level marketing is also called network marketing or MLM. They're the same thing. It says, you know, multi-level marketing, it talks about like basically every objection that someone ever gets, and they kind of go through and the person who's, you know, skeptical, they're like, well, you know, isn't that one of those pyramid things? And they're like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, if you drew it on a piece of paper, it's the shape of a pyramid. Well, you know, how is that relevant? And you're like, well, because it's a pyramid scheme. And they're like, well, if you drew the organizational structure of the company you work for, what shape would it be? A pyramid. If you drew the organizational structure of your church, what shape would it be? A pyramid. Like, if you drew the organizational structure of the Girl Scouts, what shape would it be? A pyramid. And you're like, you see what I'm getting here? I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of pyramid schemes out there. And the reality is, and it's the simplest piece of advice that's also the most powerful, I think, is if you buy someone's opinion, you buy their lifestyle. And so if someone, you know, one of the Side Hustle Nation listeners, or, you know, go out and research an MLM company, and they find something that they think they connect with, that they think fits with what they want to do, and then they go and talk to someone else and do research, and someone says, you know, oh, that's a pyramid scheme, don't do that. Well, look at the person that, you know, you're talking to for two reasons. One is, if they're, you know, broke, unemployed, and unhappy, then you probably shouldn't take their advice, because that's probably going to lead you to be broke, unemployed, and unhappy.
So when I think network marketing, I think kind of like it's an old school business, like it's person-to-person sales. Is there any way to take that online? We've got a lot of, you know, online entrepreneurs in the listenership. Is there any way to take this opportunity and kind of leverage the web to make it happen?
Absolutely. So it's very much a relationship-based business. And in today's day and age, it's possible, I won't say easy, it's possible to build relationships online. And a lot of the people that I've interviewed in my podcast have been able to do that. And what they did is they built a brand, they focused it, and they never talked about their MLM business. They helped people, they added value in some way, shape, or form. And then eventually people come to them and say, what do you actually do for work? Like, how do you actually make money? Like, oh, I'm partnered with this, you know, multi-level marketing company, you know, and then just leave it. And people come to you and ask, and it happens more and more often. But the best way to promote a multi-level marketing company online is kind of the same way to do online business of any kind, which is that you need to focus. You know, don't go after, you know, talk about niches and niching down. You know, don't go after people who are athletic. Don't go after people who like yoga. Don't go after women who like yoga. Don't go after women who are pregnant and like yoga. Go after women who are having their first child and are pregnant and like yoga. Like, that's your niche. And so if you do online marketing, you need to focus in that way so that you can speak to those people, build relationships with those people, and then grow from there.
Okay, gotcha. So what are the most successful people in network marketing doing differently from the people who fail? You hear all the story, hey, I tried it, it didn't work for me, or it doesn't pan out the way, you know, that it looks on the brochure, you know?
Absolutely. And I love that question, because I have a very new, very clear answer. In doing the interview series, now I just this morning finished recording episode 37. I was 38, sorry, 38. And some people are in the multi-level marketing industry and others aren't, but all of them are, you know, have great mentalities behind them and are either extremely successful or on their way to being extremely successful.
And we'll link up to all the yeah. podcast episodes in the show notes too.
Yeah. And so they all had very, very similar things to say. And actually all of them, and I have to go back through, but all of them in some way, shape, or form said the same thing. They all said that to be successful in multi-level marketing, you have to do two things in this order. You have to focus inward on yourself, focus on personal development, focus on your why, focus on why you're doing this, what your mission is, how hard, you know, like focus internally, focus entirely on yourself.
Okay.
Once you've got that, then you focus externally and help other people. And so many people fail in multi-level marketing because they sign up, they get their kit, or even before they get their kit, and they just start pitching and selling and pushing and just promoting it at every point in time. And it's an easy trap to fall into, but it's never effective. And it's often very traumatic. And even a larger percentage of people get into a multi-level marketing company and they don't do anything. You know, they'll get in, and I connected with someone probably 2 months. I'd been trying to connect with this person and finally got a hold of him maybe 2 months after he had signed up as a distributor. And I go, how's it going? You know, what can I do to help? Let's do this. And he goes, oh, I can't do this. And I go, well, why? You know, what's wrong? And so I talked to a bunch of people and they all looked at me like I had three heads. And I go, well, how many people did you talk to? He's like, well, I talked to three people and they all looked at me like I had three heads. And I was like, okay, well, you haven't come to any of the trainings. I can see that you haven't done any of the training online. You haven't called me for any help, and you've only talked to three people in 2 months. And I equated it to what he was doing at the time for work and how if he thought he would be successful if he just tried three times and gave up. And, you know, he decided at that point in time that it wasn't right for him because he hadn't worked on his number one yet, which was him. He hadn't worked internally. He didn't know why he didn't feel strongly enough towards it. So that's kind of the biggest thing, is it is a business where it's all focused on you from the start. And if you're unsure about yourself, unsure about your company, unsure about really anything, you need to focus on that first. Get around other people, get around positive people, get around successful people, listen to them. But listen to, you know, daily routines, listen to how they build relationships. Don't listen to sales and how they best maximize a compensation plan. You know, how to best build your business online. You need to start inside first, because even when you're building your business online, you're still going to face failure and you're still going to face rejection. And to be successful, you need to handle that in a positive way.
Yeah, that's what I found in some of my businesses too. And it requires a very long term outlook. It's definitely the opposite of the quick strike, the get rich quick scheme. And for a lot of years, like, that was really frustrating, because I was like, I got bills to pay today. Mm-hmm. But then you find some people contacting you 9 months down the road, 12 months down the road, and say, hey, remember when we were talking about this? I could really use some. I'm like, oh, okay.
The get rich quick mentality is honestly a great one to target, because in multi-level marketing, it's a little more apparent, but, you know, you go to a meeting and let's say it's a new company. A lot of times there'll be the language of, you know, oh, and I always pick on the marine industry, but it's like, oh, you know, you get in this business, we're going to have yachts tomorrow. And it's like, well, no. And that mentality is actually a really bad one, because if you say it in that way, then that's telling the person who's a prospect, if you join this business, you're going to get a yacht tomorrow or next year, whatever it may be, which means that you don't have to do any work because you're going to get a yacht. So those people join because of hype, and then they don't do anything and nobody wins. You know, the person who signed them up spends, theoretically, wastes all their time training this person, and the person who signed up wastes their money, their time, and their energy because they were never really committed to it. And most things have a long-term mentality. Now, multi-level marketing, we usually say it's a marathon mentality, so 3 to 5 years. It's not, you know, 6 months of kind of sort of talking to people. It's 3 to 5 years of actively building the business. And that's entirely dependent on how hard someone's working. I've seen it done entirely faster and entirely slower, but mostly depending on the person.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the other thing of the kind of get-rich-quick mentality, and you kind of said it, is that a lot of times in business, and especially with multi-level marketing, most people who've said no to you before, who you've never even talked to, but they've kind of, you know, been listening on Facebook, has happened to me a lot, is that they come back to you after you've been doing it like a year or a year and a half. They're like, so you're still doing this thing, huh? It must be, you know, like, and it seems legitimate to them because you've been doing it for such a long period of time. So the old adage of make your own luck, and a lot of times just by sticking with it, that's how you make your own luck.
Right. Are you finding the failure rate is proportional to the time somebody invests in it? Like with the painting thing, you know, probably 75% of the people I started the summer with weren't there at the end. You know, they couldn't hack it for whatever reason. And, you know, my own stubbornness, basically, and working some crazy hours to get through it. Like that's the only reason I was able to survive. Yeah. But do you find that, you know, people, like, is it a viable side hustle, I guess? Like, can people do it part-time and still expect to see some results from it?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely a viable side hustle, but with the caveat that with multi-level marketing, you can do it full-time and you can do it part-time, but you can't do it some of the time. You can't just say, I'm going to fit it in when I fit it in. That never, ever, ever, ever works. So if you're going to do it part-time, make sure, you know, setting aside time to say, I'm going to do 2 hours a week. I'm going to do, you know, 1 hour of inviting people to this local event, and then I'm going to go to that local event, and then I'll do 30 minutes of training, whatever it may be. I'm going to read in the mornings. And that is a huge thing in terms of someone's success. And you talk about the failure rate. Failure rate doesn't necessarily depend on length of time or how much effort was put in. A lot of it depends on how much the person listened to their mentors, their leaders, what effort was put into themselves.
Yeah, one of the big turnoffs for me is kind of the expectation to sell to your network, sell to your friends on Facebook, for example. Mm-hmm. It's like, can you speak to that a little bit, like how to get over that and maybe tie it into the relationship thing? Because that's a big turnoff for me.
Yeah, well, there's really two pieces to it. One is don't pitch. Don't, you know, I always tell people that one of the first things I tell people, especially if they're tech savvy, is don't post it on Facebook. Don't post, hey, check out this company. This is so cool. And, you know, if you're not doing this, you're an idiot. That's okay. Just don't do that. If you want to pique people's interest, you know, I usually pique people's interest by posting a picture of me going mountain biking on a Monday afternoon when it's sunny, because everybody's like, oh, that's right, Brian works from home. Damn. And so
still,
that's,
and he still, he works for himself. He still gets up at 5 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. No one understands that one, which is why I'm like, stop telling people that. They just don't relate. And so, you know, you can pique people's interest in different ways, and you can talk to your personal network in a variety of different ways. If you think that the person's interested because you know them, you say, hey, you know, I know how you really like this, this, and this, and you really want to travel, but you can't do that with your job. You know, if there was a way where you could build an income on the side and then not have any, you know, risk of losing your job, and you could potentially get enough income so that you could go do the travels that you want to do in Europe, would that be something that you're interested in? And if they say yes, then you go, well, you know, would it be all right if I send you a video? And then you send them a video that explains. And if they say that they're interested, then great. And if they don't, you say, okay, thank you. And then you don't walk away from that person. You maintain the relationship that you had before. You go back into relationship mode.
Right.
And that's how you, you know, talk to your personal network.
Do you see some risk in building this network and building this business around somebody else's product versus setting out truly on your own?
No more than any other business. I mean, there's a few businesses, obviously, where you develop a product, but you're always going to be tied to something, right? So if you invest in real estate, you're going to be tied to the real estate market in that particular area. If you're doing affiliate marketing, then you're tied to the person that you're marketing their product. Network marketing, it's the same thing. Same for working at a company. If you work for a car dealership, then you're kind of, you know, connected to the car sales industry. You're connected to a particular brand. If that brand, you know, has CEOs that, you know, gas station owners that owned BP franchises, they had no involvement with what happened. And right. There's all, you know, people are boycotting, for all intents and purposes, local businesses. So the answer to that is look at all the pieces, see where your weaknesses are, and, you know, have some plan Bs, have some protection, but don't let it paralyze you.
Let's talk for a second about time leverage. You know, if you say your side hustle, you want to go and just freelance, right? Is you're just straight trading dollars for hours, fine. Like, in this case, it sounds like you're trading hours and hours and hours and hours for maybe some dollars down the road, but potentially much bigger dollars. Is there a way to set it up so this is a more time leveraged business in that way?
My favorite ever explanation of the multi-level marketing income model is this. And there's a with hands and like, yeah, but I'll do it just audio. As it goes, work, 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 check. Work, 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 check, check. Work, 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 check, check, check. Work, 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 check, 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 check. And then eventually you get to work, check, 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 check. And so that's why we always say it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You have to build that up. And my parents are a great example. My parents for years never understood why I did multi-level marketing. And then they started to see that it was growing on its own and it became that residual income. And it's not a short thing. You know, we always talk about you can either work for 50 years and rest for 5, or you can work for 5 years and rest for 50. We didn't say 5 minutes and rest for 50 years. We said 5 years and rest for 50. So you do have to build it up. And it's the same as any business. You have to build up your customer base. You have to build up your team. You have to teach your team to build a team, and so on and so forth.
Gotcha. Well, Brian, thanks so much for coming on the show. We're going to wrap up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation and then tell people where they can connect with you online.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. And I think my number one tip would probably be something that I found a few days ago, which was you can do anything if you stop trying to do everything.
Love it.
And yeah, people can check out our website, catalystmlm.com. And we have interviews with awesome people like multi-level marketing success stories, as well as awesome people like this guy, Nick Loper, I think, from it's like the Side Hustle Nation. And yeah, it's a lot of really great people. And when we say community, we mean it. And there's a lot of really stellar advice that'll make you smile and teach you something at the same time.
Great stuff. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Great stuff. All the way from focusing on the relationship before even thinking about making a sale to what red flags to look for when evaluating an MLM or really any business opportunity. And Brian's final point, that's you can do anything once you stop trying to do everything. And there's definitely some days when I feel like I'm being torn in different directions because there always seems to be several projects going on. And on the one hand, I want to diversify. But on the other hand, I feel this need to focus. And it's an acronym you often hear from John Dumas from the Entrepreneur on Fire podcast. FOCUS stands for Focus on One Course Until Successful. Now, the relationship aspect that Brian talked about is an interesting one in this case, since Brian and I actually met over a tweet 6 or 7 months ago. We had a couple of Skype chats since we were working in complimentary spaces, should we call it, and ultimately ended up trading podcast interviews. And, you know, we've sent introductions to other people working in similar spaces. And I guess we've been building this relationship slowly over time, building that know, like, and trust funnel. So I'm kind of curious to see where we end up, if in the next year or two we're doing some business together down the road. So what do you think? Do you still think network marketing is a scam? Have you been burned before? Let's get the discussion going in the comments over at sidehustlenation.com/episode23. And that's it for our show this week. Until next time, go out there and make something happen. And I'll see you next week in episode 24. Out.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.